Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting.
Indeed, today is the day. Happy Kindness Day. That's right. It's official. Today is Kindness Day. Now, I recognize that Wednesday, November the 23rd is actually World Kindness Day, but today has been designated Kindness Day in the state of Pennsylvania, and so I'm extending it by personal fiat to the nation. So in honor of Mr. Rogers, today is 143 Day. It is the 143rd day of the year. Why does that matter? Because in the teaching of Mr. Rogers in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, one is for I, four is for love, and three is for you. So this is I Love You 143, the 143rd day of the year on which we celebrate kindness. And what are you going to do as an act of kindness to your neighbor today? How are you going to spread the contagion of kindness in your community? We're going to have those two conversations in this hour with Shanti Feldham. She's the author of The Kindness Challenge. We're also going to talk with Nicole Phillips about kindness being contagious and it requiring courage. So I still need a word for those of you who've been helping me over the last few days. I still am looking for a word, sort of an antonym for gossip. Like, I am looking for a word that captures the essence of catching people doing good and then telling on them. So I'm looking for like the positive version of a tattletale and the positive version of gossip. I'm looking for a word. So we've had some strong contenders that you have suggested on the text line at 877-933-2484. We've also had some contenders emailed, carmen@myfaithradio.com. Some of the strong contenders are good speak and therefore good sayers. My husband's contribution to the conversation, which a lot of people seem to really like, which is a Greek word that from which we get the concept of eulogizing. So it's eulogia. But I just don't think that's going to catch on, especially because I'm going to be the one trying to make it contagious and I have a hard time saying it. So eulogia, I don't know. Anyway, and therefore we would call the people doing it the eulogium. I don't know. Do you want to be a eulogium? I don't know. It sounds kind of fishy to me. Okay. So then we got the Barnables, like, right? People who are encouragers. So we would call them in the spirit of Barnabas, the Barnables, and therefore, or we would call what they do Barnables, like, right? Instead of gossip, it would be a Barnable, or maybe you would be a Barnable and what you would be doing would be Barnabalizing. I don't know. Some of you don't like that. One person said that sounds like cannibalizing, and I said it sounds like caramelizing, and so it's all about what what you're lizing. So could you lie as a Barnable, and therefore you'd be a Barnabalizer? See, I think that one's kind of catchy. We've had several people suggest simply the word blessings, and therefore those who bless. My challenge with that is that's already a word that's kind of ubiquitous in the culture, and I'm looking for something that we could just use to absolutely confront the culture with a new word or the reutilization of an underutilized word that we could actually claim in this area of conversation. It would be the opposite or the antonym of gossip, and therefore the opposite or the antonym of gossipers, right? So you don't just gossip, you are a gossip. Well, maybe instead of that, we could be people who tell a better story. We could be people who spread, you know, stories of good things and kindness. Oh, I like Barnabites. Thank you to Ann Hill, who just texted in. What about Barnabites? I don't know. Sounds like a snack. Okay. Well, there you go. Maybe Shanti or Nicole have ideas on this. We're bringing Shanti, author of The Kindness Challenge, up next for a conversation about what is kindness. So it is really fun to have Shanti Feldhelm on again. She is the author of The Kindness Challenge. Shanti, welcome back.
It is always good to be with you, Carmen.
Now, it's so fun to talk with you. Do you have a word for me? Do you have a word that is the opposite of gossip?
I love this contest, and I love the creative people that you have working on it.
A contest, and there should be a giveaway at the end of it. We should reward someone with something good. Okay,
what a good idea.
Yeah, you and I are going to put together. You're going to get a Shanti Feldhelm book if you do this, because I'm sure I have one to give away.
Absolutely.
We need some people to jump in on this. All right, Shanti, you got any thoughts on the word?
You know what jumped to my mind, and I can't remember if you said it right at the very beginning, but yay-sayers.
Oh, no. Nobody has offered yay-sayers. That can be we're going to put that in the mix. I like that.
Kind of silly, but,
And what yay-sayers do is they're like, yay! Oh, I like
exactly.
that. I like that. I like that. Okay, Shanti, tell us, let's start with this. What is kindness, and how is it different than, you know, just being nice or polite?
So, here's what we sort of discovered as we started this research project, because this is a legit giant research project, like, you know, most of ours are. And what we really kind of came down to is that niceness, it's not bad. It sort of desires to keep things pleasant. And that is good. It's not like that's bad. But kindness is way deeper than that. Because really, truly, kindness cares about the best interest of the other person. And that raises a whole spectrum of issues of what is true kindness when you're really caring about the best interest of the other person, especially since the challenge that we have is being kind when we really don't want to be. And that is really the challenge that we have today in this culture, is that there's a lot of occasions, whether it's in our family or our workplaces or in politics or on our Twitter feeds, is there are people who annoy us and frustrate the heck out of us. And we have to learn how to be kind when we really, really don't want to be, if we really are trying to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And doing that, you really have to care about the best interest of the other person, which usually involves some sort of not just keeping things nice on the surface, but really actually having some strength and sometimes some boundaries, but doing it in a truly kind way.
So, Shanti, just a few minutes ago, we had Josh Straub on, and he... He is great. And I just admit to you that I did not know that that the Greek word, the Greek root for kindness in Galatians 5:22 describes. And here was what he said: the ability to act for the welfare of those taxing our patience. And that's what you're talking about. That's exactly what you're talking about. It's not hard to be kind to people who are not taxing my patience, but it's very hard. I mean, it actually takes an act of the will. It's unnatural. It's supernatural. It's an act of the Holy Spirit.
It is.
Yeah.
So here's really what we learned really quickly as we started studying this. All of us, every single person listening to this, when you started talking about kindness today, they were probably going, oh man, I wish Jennifer could hear this. You know, John really needs to hear this. And it's true. There may be somebody in our world who taxes our patience, and we think they really need to know about this kindness thing. What I realized as we started looking at the numbers and the statistics is that all of us value kindness and think we are kind. And we have no idea that we're actually quite deluded, that we are not the people of kindness that we think we are. And so it's one of these paradigm shifts and mental shifts that we have to have. And we realized that really, truly, whether you thrive, and this is a result of all the studies that we've done over the years, because we're all about what is it that's going to help us thrive in life and relationships, right? And as we looked at all of our studies, we realized, whoa, statistically, whether you thrive is far more correlated to how you treat other people than how you yourself are being treated.
And wait, that say goes, that again. Can you
yeah,
repeat that?
Yeah.
Say that again.
Whether you're thriving in your life or your relationship, statistically, is far more correlated to how you treat other people than how you yourself are being treated. And it
okay, so
goes,
let's, I want to settle. Yeah.
You want to unpack that for a minute? Yeah.
I do, but I want to let that settle in over the break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about that because I think that, like, let's just take work as an environment where we could flesh that out. When we come back, I want you to talk with us, Shanti, about thriving at work by choosing intentionally to be kind, which is something that I can control. I cannot control how other people are treating me, but I can control how I am treating them. And I could thrive in work. What you're saying is I could thrive in work, in my work environment, regardless of how I'm being treated, by choosing
Correct.
How I treat others. That's extraordinary.
Correct.
Okay, Shanti is, you should check her out online. Shanti is S-H-A-U-N-T-I, Shanti.com. You can find out all about her research, her books, her speaking, all kinds of wonderful things there. Shanti.com. Check that out while she and I are taking a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hold the door, say please, say thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind.
All right, we got people blowing up the text line with ideas for our antonym for gossip. So you can text me at 877-933-2484. The latest contenders are Barnabites. I love slayers. That's I like that, but it's too long and complicated. I got a person here who is voting along with my husband Jim. The person has been thinking of the word eulogy or eulogizer all week, but been afraid to say it because they couldn't get past the funeral connotation. Well, there you go. I agree with that as well. And then I'm saving the next one that popped up. I'm slaving for last because it is definitely my favorite. I got kind sayer listed here. And then I have a person who likes Barnabalizer and Barnable, but is concerned that it is too close to barnacle and people would become confused. But Shanti, listen to this one.
Okay.
Goss up.
Oh,
I know.
I like that.
Right? So I'm now on GoDaddy seeing if I can buy Goss up, right? Because don't you think? Like, do you think it should be gossup.org or net? Those are my options.
I think .org.
All right, there you go. We have now bought Goss up.
To get both of them. Yep.
Get both of them. All right, there you go. We now own gossup.org and .net because I feel like that is going to be the winning word. I just am pretty excited about that. Okay, so continuing my conversation with Shanti Feldhahn, author of The Kindness Challenge. You can find her at Shanti, Shaunti.com.
Yep.
And all right, in the workplace, let's talk about kindness in the workplace and just run with this topic.
So here's really the issue. This is a big deal everywhere in life, right? But the thing that I think a lot of us really need help with is what do you do when you're in a position where you really want to have a productive, positive working relationship with someone and you need to, and they're not cooperating? It's kind of a difficult situation. And one of the things that we found as we were studying what are sort of the elements of kindness and how do you do this is that we realized, okay, first we have to work on ourselves because we obviously want to try to change the other person. And usually that doesn't work so well. And so what we found is this is where the 30-day kindness challenge came from, is that you actually need to do and practice doing three things for 30 days in order to sort of reset how you think about things and some of the habits you have. And you're going to actually start seeing some benefits. And this is in the workplace, this is home, this is anywhere. And so the three things are, first, you pick this person you want to do this for. And let's say in this case that it's this difficult colleague that you really wish you had a better relationship with. For 30 days, you do these three things. First, you don't say anything negative about that person, either to them or about them to somebody else. And we don't realize it, but that second piece there, that's usually where we sabotage ourselves. Because, you know, I can be very polite to my colleague who drives me bananas, but if I go then to another colleague, or if I go home and I'm talking to my partner about, they're driving me crazy. You don't realize it, but you're sabotaging how you feel about them. So that's the first thing. Second thing is every day for 30 days is find one thing you can sincerely praise and you can sincerely affirm about them, and you tell them and you tell somebody else as well. So you can't complain about whatever it is they're doing that drives you nuts, but you're looking for the things to praise. And so you go, you know what, Jessica or Bob or whatever, you know, that presentation, you did a really great job on that. They were very hard to convince, and I think you nailed it. And then you go to whoever it is that you usually complain to, and you say, you know what, Bob nailed it, did a fantastic job on that presentation. And what you're doing is you're changing in your own mind how you feel about that person. You're starting to look for the good, which is usually there alongside the bad. And then the third thing you do every day for 30 days is you do a small action of kindness, or you do a small action of generosity for them. And we usually think of an action of kindness as being like an act of service, you know, like, okay, I'll bring them coffee in the morning, right? And okay, that could be it. But there's so many other ways this plays out. Like, suppose that Bob is someone who just walks by your office and wants to talk and complain, and it drives you nuts. But maybe some of that is there's something that Bob just really needs to run something by you and needs you to actually listen to him for 5 minutes and give him your full attention rather than being halfway trying to get him out of your office and halfway looking at your phone and halfway looking at your computer and not really listening. An act of generosity might actually be to turn your attention to him for 5 minutes and just really focus in on what he's saying. And make sure that he knows that. You do those three things for 30 days. What we found is that 89% of relationships improved. 89%. That is huge. You don't see numbers like that in social science. But if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Because the thing that you're doing, yeah, you're impacting the other person. But the biggest thing you're doing is you're changing you.
I love that. And people can, they can still engage in the kindness challenge. Like, you and I talked about this a couple of years ago, but people can actually still join the kindness challenge. You can still do the kindness challenge. The website is jointhekindnesschallenge.com. And I love that. And you can start any day. Like, this is not something that, gosh, we all have to wait and start the kindness challenge together on a certain day. Today could be your kindness challenge day. Today could be the day that you embark on a 30-day kindness challenge. You can do so with Shanti at jointhekindnesschallenge.com. For other great Shanti resources, go to Shanti, Shaunti.com. Shanti, anything else as we walk off from this segment on kindness?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that we really have to get a good handle on is how often we're just, like I said, we're kind of sabotaging the good relationships that we most want, whether it's at home or in the workplace or anywhere else. I mean, one of the things that I think our whole culture has to wrestle with today is the whole culture of venting that we have, where we sort of believe this idea that, and I think a lot of us would have believed this, that it's actually kind of healthy to let a little steam out of the kettle so the pot doesn't explode, right? We've sort of believed that. Turns out the neuroscience completely contradicts that. Turns out that that is completely inaccurate neurologically. And what happens when you're venting about that awkward colleague or about the spouse that's driving you crazy or whatever, your child, your mother-in-law, as you're doing that, as you're sort of sharing, oh, you wouldn't believe what they did yesterday, you don't realize it, but the neuroscientists have found it actually activates this interconnected anger system in the brain. And the better analogy is you're turning the heat up under the pot. Mm. And it makes an enormous difference when you refuse to do that. And like, just, we're talking just about 30 days, people. Like, just practice not saying anything negative at all to them or about them for 30 days. You are going to realize, first of all, how often you did this without realizing it. And you're going to start seeing your feelings change. And let me tell you, the improvement that you see in that relationship is going to be the absolutely best incentive to continue.
We're going to have to leave it right there. I love all of that. And it's so encouraging. I love that your approach is research-based.
it is certainly innovative and life-changing, but it's research-based. And I think that for a lot of people in the culture today, having something to point to that we can say, hey, this works, and research actually shows that this works, it makes a substantive difference in life, gets people sort of to take the initial step into the exercise and into the project. So we want to invite people into today on Kindness Day, on 143 Day, we want to invite you into the 30-Day Kindness Challenge. You can join the Kindness Challenge at jointhekindnesschallenge.com. Shanti, thank you so much for bringing this to us again today. Yeah, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
All right, friends.
Thanks for doing.
Yeah, we got to take a quick break, and then we will be right back to tattle truth and share up and goss up and yay say. I'm kind of excited about the word game we're playing today. I'll be right back.
Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
We got some brilliant listeners out there. I love that you keep the suggestions coming in. I particularly like tattle truth. I would like to be known as a tattle truth. I might have been known as a tattletale when I was little, and I would like to be known as a tattle truth who speaks truth about others in a way that builds them up, a yay sayer, a goss up. Like, this is so fun. Thank you so much for continuing to brainstorm ideas with me. You can text them to 877-933-2484. You can email me, Carmen@myfaithradio.com. Next up, we're going to continue our Kindness Day conversation with Nicole Phillips. You know Nicole. She visits us every week to bring us a little kindness moment or a kindness story. And she's coming back today to just continue the conversation about the courageous and contagious nature of kindness.
In my decades of working with teens and their families, I've met a lot of overzealous and overprotective parents. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Parents don't pamper their teens because they want to do the wrong thing. In fact, they do it from a heart of love. But it's so much better to love your teenager in a healthy manner that allows him to grow up and mature. Think of it this way. Every decision you make for your daughter is one less decision she has to make for herself. And every day that you keep your son dependent on you is one less day he has to become an independent adult. Are you an overprotective parent? Quit coddling. It's time to let go, to back off, and to let your teen take control.
Parenting Teens isn't for the faint of heart. Want more help from Mark Gregston? Find books and other resources online at ParentingTodaysTeens.org or search for Parenting Today's Teens in your favorite app store.
So Nicole Phillips is back with us today. You can check out everything Nicole is doing at NicoleJPhillips.com. She is our kindness story friend, and she joins us every single week. But she agreed to come back and do a whole segment with us today on kindness as both contagious and courageous. So Nicole, welcome back.
Well, hi, Carmen. I think you're one of my top three people. It's Carmen, and then it's Mr. Rogers, and then it's Shanti Feldhahn. So, I mean, this is like the best day ever for me, right?
It's good. It's 143 day. Happy 143 day.
Happy 143 day. And Mr. Rogers kept his weight at 143, they say, and 143, I love you. That's awesome.
Okay. I cannot aspire to the, anyway, I will aspire.
Right.
I will aspire to one part of this conversation and not the other. Okay. So Nicole, kindness. Why is this a passion point for you? Let's just start with that. Why is kindness a passion point for you?
Yeah, it is. And it started to be a passion point for me 8 years ago because I saw it radically transform my life. I was basically, I mean, Carmen, for lack of a better way of saying it, a bored housewife. I allowed the fact that I didn't have gratitude or really what I felt was like a deep soul-filling purpose in my life to kind of unravel my life. So 8 years ago, I was, at the edge of what anyone would call an alcoholic, a drinker, a smoker, an overeater. I was angry at my husband. There was constantly strife in my home. And I had no idea until I met a girl in a shiny gold bikini at our public pool. And I ended up talking to her. She was a young mom. And I gave her a little bit of money. And, you know, I gave her enough money to put gas in her car. But I walked away from that interaction with this high, unlike anything I had ever experienced before. And in that moment, I knew if I crack open this humility we feel with kindness, like either we feel like it's something somebody else does because I'm too busy, or
Do we need to disconnect?
Pardon me?
Hey, we're gonna try to reconnect with Nicole. Oh, Nicole, maybe we can hear you clearly now. So back up.
Did you lose me there for a second?
Yeah. Back up a couple of sentences and pick up there. We were with you with the woman in the gold bikini at the, and you gave her gas money, and then we kind of lost you.
Yeah, and I was just saying I had this high, unlike anything I had ever experienced before, and that was when I knew that if people knew what this felt like, then everyone would try it. And that's where kindness would be contagious, because it can change a life. But we're so stuck up in this kindness is something other people do because I'm too busy, or we're stuck with this, I don't want to tell people about my acts of kindness because then that would be selfish. So, you know, once we can kind of grab on to the power of kindness, it can transform our lives. Within 1 year of being intentional about kindness, Carmen, I had quit drinking, quit smoking, lost 30 pounds, went off my antidepressant, re-fell in love with my husband. And 8 years later, I'm happy to say we live in a home that is drama-free. I mean, it's what we strive for, that we just don't have to yell at people when we have something that bothers us. We don't need to vent, as Shanti was saying. We can cool down those pathways in our brain and look for new ways to interact with people.
Okay. And one of the things that you talk about is the contagious nature of kindness. So it's one thing to, you know, sort of intentionally commit to it in my own life. How have you seen it as a contagion in your home, in your relationships, in your community? Like, how is it, what has been the witness borne back to you that kindness is contagious?
I think the coolest witness, and this is a big one, but, you know, I started this kindness journey 8 years ago. 4 years ago, I had breast cancer. I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And my daughter, who was 11 at the time, said, "Mom, I want to do something to help. I want to do something to be kind." And so she ended up sewing these little cozies that go on a coffee cup holder. We can't call them koozies because that's logo trademarked. So we call them cozies. But they go on your coffee cup. And people came out of the woodwork to buy these from Jordan, and they ended up getting some national attention, and Walmart ended up putting them in their stores for a little while. And so what started out as me trying to teach my kids that any little thing you do helps turned into my daughter raising $100,000 for the Susan G. Komen Foundation to provide early mammograms for women. Wow. And yeah. So, I mean, it's that sort of thing. And then the fun thing about that is I just got a text yesterday from a woman in northern Wisconsin. She sent me a picture of her 4-year-old daughter. And she said, "I was just telling my daughter about your daughter. And now she's going through our entire craft drawer trying to find something that she can do to help others." And how amazing is that?
Yeah, I love that. So you remind me that a text message, an email, a smile. These don't cost us anything, first of all. And they can be sacrificial. I love that these acts of kindness, particularly related to these kids, I mean, there's a sacrifice of time there. There is an investment on their part, but there's a lot of stuff, Nicole, that is kind, that is an act of kindness that costs me nothing. It costs us nothing.
Yep.
To simply be kind, but it is a choice that we make, and it can be contagious. Okay, Nicole Phillips and I are going to continue this conversation about kindness, it being both contagious and courageous, in just a moment. You can check out Kindness is Contagious and Kindness is Courageous. Those are a couple of Nicole's books. You can check it all out at NicoleJPhillips.com. We'll be right back. When you help someone in need, that's kindness. When you plant a little seed, that's kindness. When you give a pal a hug, that's kindness.
That's kindness.
Get me hold a ladybug.
That's kindness too.
So, hats off to Paul Perreault today, who found us all kinds of fun kindness music to play on this Kindness Day.
You're welcome. And the gospel singer there, Tori Kelly, with the Muppets.
Don't you love that, right? Like, you got a mashup going on there,
I
man.
I got it going, man.
Good job. So, Nicole, when we think about the word contagious, mm-hmm. we think about something bad. But in this case, kindness is something that we actually want to catch. It's something that we want to be an agent of contagion when it comes to kindness. So I want you to give people some practical ideas here about spreading kindness today. We have a listener, Julie, who texted in a minute ago saying, hey, I'm actually going into a meeting at work let me grab her a little text message here. On the subject of acts of kindness, do you have some ideas? So I just sent her to NicoleJPhillips.com as a place Aww. That she could go to find some ideas. So let's give people some practical ideas about being kind today.
Okay. Well, I think that we, to touch back what you said before the break about it costs you nothing, mm-hmm. I really feel like it's important that you use your resources and your influence to be kind. Now, so for instance, the baseball coach in our town found out that at Grandparents' Day at the elementary school, not everybody has a grandparent to come. So she used, it was the coach's wife, used her influence with knowing those baseball players and said, hey, can you go to the elementary school and sit with those kids who don't have grandparents? That's a sphere of influence. You know, my husband doesn't have a job right now. He has had more big name basketball coaches, because that's what he is. He's a basketball coach, call on his behalf to athletic directors around the country saying, hey, if you have a spot, you're going to want to check this guy out. You know, these are things that don't cost anyone anything, and yet they are huge acts of kindness. There was a teenage girl in my town who just sent me a letter. She knows I'm moving soon. And she said, hey, I just think it's really neat that you lived in my town, because I follow what you do. And it's made a big difference, and it's helped my perspective. And like this girl, I mean, how sweet is that? You know, she's got maybe financially, she doesn't feel like, oh, I have anything to give financially, or I'm busy, I don't have anything to give for time or volunteering. But she sat down and wrote a handwritten letter to me. So as you go into your meeting and you go into your day and you're talking to people about kindness, or you're just trying to find more of it in your life, I say, get out of the list that says, I'm going to bring donuts, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and just open your eyes and see, how can I love well the people around me? What do the people around me need right now? Do they need grace because they totally screwed up and I want to yell at them? Or do they need a word of encouragement? Or do they need a little cup of coffee or something to know that I thought of them when I wasn't around?
And sometimes that offering of encouragement, when I'm not around, I mean, it can come through the cell phone. I love the, in Kindness is Courageous book, I love the, I was like flipping through here, seeing if I could find it. I know that there's one in here about your phone not being a cell phone, that it's like a device of
vessel,
kindness or something like
that. It's a vessel for kindness. Yes.
Okay. Talk about my cell phone being a vessel of kindness, because I think when we think of social media today and we think of our phone as sort of our entry point into social media, you know, or the way we gain access to it, how help me see my interaction on social media, and particularly my interaction through my cell phone, help me see that as a vessel of kindness.
Okay, well, this started because I had an old phone that I was giving to my teenage daughter's friend. And when I presented it to her and gave it to her, I said, listen, this phone has never been used for ill will. It has never texted anyone anything hateful. It has never emailed anyone to say something bad. It's never commented on anything on social media negatively. I said, it doesn't know how to do that. So please don't teach it how to do that. And it was meant to be, you know, kind of a funny joke, but yet at the same point, I wanted her to realize what a weapon we have with our cell phones. And it can either be, you know, a sword for good, or really a weapon to slay people down. And so when you pick up your cell phone and you look at it as this device, like, does it know how to be angry and cruel? And or am I the one teaching it how to do that by what I'm posting on social media, what I'm commenting back to people? And I really feel like that's, you know, we can blame social media a whole lot, Carmen, but the fact of the matter is we are the ones commenting on it. We are the ones putting it out there. So we are the ones that need to be blamed for our behavior on social media, not social media.
So I think that this this notion that I've had that we're gonna well, it's really your idea, but I've stolen it. Where we're going to get people telling on each other when they see people doing things as an act of kindness, when they see people doing good. And so I just had somebody named Richard say, hey, our church bought donuts and took them to our local elementary school on the last day of school just for all of the teachers. And so, right, like simple, really simple ideas. In fact, that sort of inspires me. Our last day of school here was yesterday, but I know the teachers are all at the school today, and yep. I could probably do something really simple for them. I could certainly send an email of encouragement to the, you know, to the head of school or something. We've got to, you know, just be on the lookout. Maybe this is like a BOLO calling, like, right? We want people to be on the lookout, not just for people who are sort of in need of a kind act, because that's sort of obvious to us sometimes and we feel compelled. But there are some folks who just need encouragement. I love the Barnabas idea. We're going to become Barnabas or Barnabalites. Do you like that? Does that sound catchy at all?
Hey, I'm going to go with your BOLO. Like, how cool would that to have that on a t-shirt? B-O-L-O, be on the lookout, because that to me says, we find it, you know, find it. And Carmen, you're going to have people who are listening who are like, yes, but I don't want to tell anyone about it, because if I tell anyone about it, I won't get my reward in heaven. Well, I wrestled with that for a long, long, long time. And what I found was that when we talk about kindness, we put the kindness trifecta into action. The kindness trifecta is the fact that that we've talked about it before, you know, the giver, the receiver, and the witness all benefit from an act of kindness. If you are the giver and you refuse to tell anyone that you were the one, and sometimes we keep it to ourselves, but if you refuse to ever tell anyone about how much fun you had doing something for someone, you're leaving many, many, many witnesses out. And those witnesses will benefit from the chemical reaction of something you've done. So it's like giving an extra gift when you share with other people what you've done. So I like gossip, you know, I look at things as t-shirts. So like a t-shirt, like Yay Sayer, I love that one. Gossip, you know, I could see it with a little thing underneath that says to light up your day. Grace up, I think Paul, that's a good one. The Barnabas thing to me is, I feel like there are a lot of people in this world who don't know the Bible, and they don't know Bible stories, and they don't know characters. And so for them, you know, when we move into the Latin or we move into those characters, people average.
We're gonna have Paul let Nicole go, because we lost her Skype feed in terms of its clarity. But I absolutely think we got her point. We love her. You guys need to check out everything that she's doing at NicoleJPhillips.com. You can check out Kindness is Contagious and Kindness is Courageous, each of which are books of stories reminding us how to be brave and how to be kind. And we're going to continue to gossip here on Mornings with Carmen. I love it. I love this conversation. I love you all for contributing to it. I'm going to take a quick break and then we will wrap it up.
Kindness is the love that never ends.
All right, so it is Kindness Day, 143. I love you. 143, it's the 143rd day of the year. It is Kindness Day in the spirit of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So go out there and reclaim the space. You are a good Samaritan. You are a doer of merciful deeds and acts. Be kind, and let your kindness be contagious in your home, in your workplace, and in the world. Have a great day, and God bless. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio.
If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.